We want to see God in your life. We want to see God in your gift. We just want God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 says this, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All right? So Jesus already knew when the disciples got there they were going to encounter something, but he told them exactly what to say when they got there. Right? It's very specific. Well, watch this. He says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And I love the way they describe him as the prophet of Nazareth. Notice he had just prophesied to the disciples that they would go and find these animals tied in a certain place. And, and he just gave them everything they needed. He just prophesied, and the prophecy was manifested right there. I believe God does that too. And a prophecy can go forth, and a manifestation can happen right after the prophecy. Here's the other thing about a prophecy. A real prophecy. A real prophecy always goes before the manifestation. Amen. Let me say that again. A real prophecy always goes before the manifestation. You don't wait till the manifestation to come and say, the Lord showed me. Well, when did he show it to you? When did he show it to you? Yeah, I mean, the Lord showed you after it happened? No, the Lord showed us too. We all saw it. Right? You don't say things like that. A prophecy, I'm talking about a prophetic word, or somebody say, thus saith the Lord, and people are afraid to use those terms today, but God still uses prophets, right? But a prophecy always happens before a manifestation. Lord have mercy, Jesus. I am telling you the truth. This still is real. This is real. Let me go to Luke 22, another example in Jesus' life. And as we're grabbing that, I said earlier that this is not just in Pentecostal churches, or it shouldn't be. One of the instances that comes to my mind is Brother Smiley has shared his testimony of going into ministry. And actually, before he became pastor, he had gone to a Pentecostal church one night. Him and Brother Troy was there at a Pentecostal church. And they began to, whoever was speaking began to go around the church and began to prophesy to different people. And they looked at him and say, God is calling you to be a pastor. And he looked at them and said, I don't think so. Not me. He ain't calling me. And him and Brother Troy pretty much laughed it off. They laughed as they was going to their car. And within a couple years, Brother Smiley had become pastor of the church there in Okeechobee. And somebody had spoke that before it happened. Prophecy should happen before the manifestation. I was reminded as I was looking at this, I reminded of, I believe Sister Charisse went to a Pentecostal church one night, and somebody prophesied to her that she would be in the dental field. Is that right? Somebody prophesied to you? And I think her and Sister Sarah were there at that church that night, and somebody prophesied to her about she would be in the dental field. Now, just so happens, Sister Charisse is in the dental field. And her and Sister Sarah, and Sister Sarah, I think, when she heard the prophecy, she was saying, no, I think that one was for me. Because I think she was going to school or something like that. But, you know, both of them ended up in the dental field. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Now, think about this. Sister Sarah hears the prophecy, like, I think that's me. You can be in a situation like this and feel like, wait a minute. This prophecy is not just for this person here, but God is speaking something to me. Let me put it this way. You can get into the channel. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, let me explain something about the channel. All right. Brother Branham was fellowshipping with Brother Perry Green. And Brother Perry Green had told him, he says, Brother Branham, this gift that's in your life where you prophesy and you tell people, you know, different things. He said, my daddy does something very similar to this. My daddy does this. You know, he's told me things that that were going to happen before they happened. It's easy for me to believe this because I've seen this in my daddy's life. And Brother Branham asked, he said, when was your daddy born? And he told him, you know, when he was born, what year and what month and all that. He says, okay. He says, that's good. He says, because when God was sending this specific gift to the earth, he says there was other that got into the channel of that gift, and they end up getting some of it. They end up getting part of the gift, right? So again, I don't think God stopped this. I'm reading it here out of the book of Samuel. I'm reading it in the book of Matthew. I'm reading it in the book of Luke. We're going to read it in the book of Luke. We're going to read a testimony of how Brother Branham, you know, this operated in his. And I realize the gift that's in a prophet would be totally different than the gift that would be in the body. Nonetheless, hallelujah, it's the same gift. And the portion might be a little different, right? But like Brother Branham tells the story, says, if you can just get you go to the usher and you get a bucket full of the water, or you get a spoonful of the water. The same contents that's in the spoonful or in the bucket is the same thing that's in the ocean. So if we just got a spoonful of God, I'm satisfied. But it's supposed to be the same contents. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Here in Luke 22 verse 7, we see this in Jesus' ministry. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. Now, some of you all that follow the Chosen series, they just had a scene about this. And this one little fella was preparing, you know, the upper room. Preparing the room for communion. He had the thing laid out, and his brother was telling him, what in the world are you doing? Why are you doing it like this? He said, I feel like something getting ready to happen here, and I'm supposed to have it set up like this, you know. And as the fellow just laid everything out, all of a sudden, here come the disciples up, and he looked at his brother and said, these are the men that I saw in the dream that I had, and they're the ones that came to me and told, and they realized the connection there. Right. And I like the way they kind of put that out, because it follows the scripture. It follows scripture. God still does these things. God can speak to somebody in a dream to kind of prepare them for something that's getting ready to happen. And then all of a sudden it falls right into place. God can speak through someone telling you. Somebody can tell you that, you know, they didn't say anything to the church, but they sent word through somebody else, and they came to me and said, you know, there is some paperwork that you're working on, and the Lord told me to tell you that paperwork is going to go through. They had no idea that I was working on paperwork, and the paperwork went through. I'm telling you, this still happening right now. What I just said with y'all just happened just a couple weeks ago, right here in our church. So I know this is real. Now let me also mention this. When you recognize that a person has a gift, wait on the Lord to use it. And what I mean by that is don't necessarily be running after this person all the time. Do you got a word for me from the Lord? Because I need a word from last time you spoke to me. Sometimes God wants you to just take his word. And let me tell you something. If you ever find a scripture to support your position, yay or nay, if the scripture say don't do it, I don't care what the prophet or prophetess say, you better stay with the word of God. And if the scripture says yes for you to do it, then you can stand on the scripture. Remember this now. Jesus said, heavens and earth will pass away before one word of his will fail. So the word of God has got to be first and foremost. And what you need to be doing is reading the word of God so you can hear from God. Now, God uses these other gifts in the body that if you just kind of in a spot, Lord, I just haven't heard you, God can bring somebody just to kind of give you a little confirmation or a little encouragement. It's going to be all right. Just keep on moving in this direction. You all remember when, before we moved from Green Acres that one time, and we moved to West Palm, down to Roebuck, Brother Caleb Duran had come to the church. And he said, Brother Jack, and he was preaching, he just stopped in the middle of the sermon. He says, Brother Jack, the Lord said, you lean in a particular direction. He said, go ahead and go in that direction. I'm with you. I broke out crying. I needed to hear that from God because I was going to take the church from $1,800 a month to $3,500 a month, and we didn't have no more people than what we had. That was a big jump. But I needed to hear that because, you know, and God knew I needed to hear that because when I heard it, okay, my faith was encouraged. I went ahead and signed because I'm like, Lord, I believe you told me that through Brother Caleb. Excuse me. But God met the need every month for 13 years. I know this is real. I know God is real. I know God want to move like this in our church. I know God needs people that will surrender their lives so that he could use them. You can't be a part-time Christian expecting this. But God needs people wholly dedicated, surrendered to him. Let me finish reading this. I don't even know where I was in chapter 22. Verse 11. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Amen. All right, just showing in scripture what we read there in Samuel chapter 10, Jesus, it manifested in Jesus' ministry. It manifested in Samuel's ministry. And I'll show you that if it's a true prophetic anointing, Samuel was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. A true prophetic anointing, you would see the same exact things happening. And we'll show you a testimony here, brother, of this happening, Brother Branham. I just made the comments like, if somebody got a gift like that, you don't chase them down to try to get them to give you a word. And I'm going to use myself as an example. There's many times that I have come to the pulpit not knowing what the people were going through. And I would end up preaching a sermon that's dealing right with the situation that the people are going through. Sometimes conversations that they had on their way to church, and God would come right through the sermon and preach their situation. How many witnesses are that? Now, how many of y'all call me and said, Pastor, I need a word from the Lord, and this is my situation. Could you speak directly to that? Nobody ever called me. So if you don't call me and ask for it, don't be calling somebody with a gift. It's the same God that does it. Let God operate the gift. And you know, just don't do that. That's how we get things out of order. And I've seen that. If somebody get a gift, have mercy, Jesus. People all gathered around them after service. I call it parking lot preaching. I mean, they use the gathering of the people, which we come here for one purpose, but they use that to for their own benefit. Oh, is people gathered there? Well, let me make my presence known. And that's that. Get groups of people gathered around, and then sometimes it leaves the parking lot, and all of a sudden you end up with fellowships at your house. Now, is there something wrong with fellowship? No, not at all. It just depends on what you plan on doing at the fellowship. You're going to have you're starting a church? Amen. Even Brother Branham say, you know, you got to be careful even about prayer meetings. Well, we just want to get together to pray. Mm-hmm. I see. That's all y'all want to do, huh? And now y'all done been praying, and now all of a sudden somebody feel led. The Lord called me to start a work. Is that right? It came out the prayer meeting, huh? But when we was having prayer meeting, you never showed up on the line. But all of a sudden you feeling led. Oh, okay. And all I'm going to do is say, they felt led to start a church. That's all I'm going to say. Look, y'all remember, if y'all ain't read it, y'all need to go back and read Jeremiah. Jeremiah got up. There was a man. He got up and prophesied one thing, and then a man come along and prophesied something different than Jeremiah. You know what Jeremiah said when after he did it? Amen. Amen. He didn't fight with him. Amen. And then later on he told him, said, because you done prophesied this lie, you ain't going to live over a year. You're going to be dead within a year, and you're not going to see these things manifested. And the man was dead. Don't play with God. God got an order. God got structure to what he do. And if things are outside of that order, outside that structure, God can't bless it. And I'm going to be honest with you. You'll see things get started, but they won't last. I don't care how good it look at the beginning. You just give it time, that thing will not last. When you see a ministry that's been established for a number of years and look, and coming from nothing, when you see that, then you know the hand of God is with it. The scripture says that except the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. So you want to see something that God has established. Amen. Here in this message, Demonology, Religious Realm, Brother Branham tells a testimony of a story, and I could just give you the summary of it, but I'll rather read it to you. Yes, Lord, help me, Jesus, with this. Y'all just stay with me, because I do want to try to say a little something here with this testimony. You know, there's a false, Brother Branham says, there's a true and a false of everything. If I give you a dollar and I say, is this a good dollar? And you look at it, and it'd have to look pretty much like a real dollar. You wouldn't believe it. Is that right? So it'd have to be a really good imitation. If Jesus said the two spirits in the last days would be so close till it would deceive the very elect, if possible, religious people. He says, now remember, now there ain't nothing out there in them old coal former outside They are just a form of godliness, you see. But these two spirits are real spirits. It'll be so close till it deceive the very elect. How it was working side by side in the last days. Did Jesus say that? Did Jesus say that? He did. It says, now watch, friends. I'm going to draw you a little picture. I want you to look at here just a minute and give you undivided attention because I'm going to give you a parable and then you'll see it. All right. It says, now in the Reader's Digest, it wrote up there, I was standing out there. We had 2,700 people waiting to get prayed for standing out there. You read the article, and a man come down from Canada, and he had a little boy that had been to Mayo's and John Hopkins, a serious brain disease that drawed its little hands in like this and drawed its legs up under it. And they said there's not even an operation or nothing can be done. So this is Mayo Clinic and John Hopkins Hospital. Telling this little boy that there's nothing that can be done. Whatever the condition it was, there's nothing that could be done. And Mayo's is known to be one of the top places as far as medical science is concerned. It's like one of the top places that you could go. He goes on and says, so he took it back to Canada. He said, I'm not whipped yet. So after he heard this news from Mayo's and Johns Hopkins, he said, I'm not whipped yet. He says, and he says, you get November's issue of the Reader's Digest, and it's called The Miracle of Donnie Morton. And then said in there that the man said, I'm not whipped yet because I know a faith healer named William Branham that caused two of my friends who was deaf and dumb to speak and hear. All right. So he says, and they called to try to find where I was at in America. And I was over in Costa Mesa, California. And the article, when you read it, get ready to cry. Said it'll just break your heart. How he went through snowdrifts and everything else with that baby. He said, be careful, Donnie. Said, we're not defeated. And the little boy couldn't even smile hardly. And he was so afflicted. Said, we're not defeated. We're going to ask God. We'll go to God's prophet and ask him. So then they come through the snow. And they finally got down there, and the mother was coming with them, and they didn't have enough money, to get to go by airplane, so they sent the mother back, and the boy and daddy had to come on a bus, and how they rode all the way from Winnipeg, Canada, to Costa Mesa, California, and they got in there broke, and the father tells about had to change the little diapers on it, little boy about 7 or 8 years old, just perfectly helpless. Oh, how he was, couldn't get a chance to eat or nothing. And said this little boy could just hear him talk, and he could tell the way his eyes looked and that he was trying to smile, you know, and know that he'd tell him different signs, different sights he would be seeing over in America. When they got in there to California, they said to the traveler's aide, what he come to see? He said, come to see a divine what? And a big question mark. Of course, you can imagine what America said about it. You see, that's us. See, we're so smart. We know everything, you know, and there's no need of telling us anything. We got it all wrote down, see. So a divine what come all the way from Winnipeg, Canada? Why? They thought that was horrible. See, but when you got faith, you'll go through all kind of things to get into the presence of God. And that's what this father was doing. He went through everything he could just to get into the presence of God. He knew there was a gift on the earth that could speak to his condition. And he did everything he could to get into the presence of God. Let me tell you, if that gift was on the earth today, people would still be doing everything they can to get there to try to hear a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. God knew when it was time to take that gift off the earth. However, what we need to come to the reality of understanding is that even though that gift is no longer here, the God of that gift is still here. The God of that gift is still here. Look at this. It says, anyhow, the newspaper catch in a car and sent him over there, and he said, When they got to the line where it was at, said 2,700 people was waiting to be prayed for. But said when they seen that deformed, looking boy and that poor daddy with his cap on, his ragged coat, said everybody just stepped aside and gave him his place when he hit the platform. It's against the rules to swap a prayer card. Somebody must come to the meeting and get your own card. If they're ever caught in the line swapping prayer cards on somebody else, the prayer card is dishonored. And it says, see, because you must come, hear the instructions, and know how to receive it. It's up to you. You can't get it for someone else. You have to come get it yourself so you hear. Some big person said, well, I don't believe much in this thing, but maybe if you'll heal me, see. And then that causes a fuss at the platform. So they just call that thing out before it gets there. So when the boy started, the father started on the platform ahead of the people, Billy asked him for his prayer card. He didn't have any. Said, then I'm sorry. Said, you'll have to wait. Said, all right. Said, I'll wait. Said, I'll just take my turn like the others did. Said, I didn't know I had to do this. And so I was talking to someone, and I happened to hear it. I seen the father go away. And I said, what was the matter? He said he didn't have a prayer card, and something said to me, bring him back. Now, before I go further in that quote, just reading this reminded me of another situation that happened in Brother Branham's life. And there was a pharmacist that was sharing a testimony with Brother Branham, and he was telling him, it was kind of during the Depression years, that the pharmacist they were giving out medicine, and one man came there to the pharmacy, and he was asking, his wife was, I think, expecting, and she needed some medicine for something, and the pharmacist had a son that was in the front of the pharmacy. He's like, hey, you know, we can't give her the medicine until you bring this such and such card from, you know, the health department down there. You're going to need this information before we can give you the medicine. And it says the line is so long, and my wife needs the medicine right now. I couldn't wait in the line, you know. And so the man, the pharmacist heard his son and the man talking, and then the pharmacist was touched, and he says, you know, son, what's going on? And he said, he started explaining the whole situation. He said, yeah, you're right. That is the proper process. To do these things, you have to go through this process. He says, but I just feel to take care of this situation. So the pharmacist went ahead and filled a prescription without having all the information he needed. He gave it to him and said, he'll bring it back later once he got it. But he gave the woman the medicine. And he told Brother Branham, says, for some reason, when I went to hand the medicine over to them, I didn't see their hands, but I actually saw the hands of Jesus, nail-scarred hands. I saw the hands of Jesus. He said, I know that probably might sound real crazy to you. Brother Ram said, no, that ain't crazy. That ain't crazy. Because the scripture said like this, that what you've done unto the least of these, my little ones, you have done it unto me. The Bible's real. So he said, no, I believe that that's right in line with the scripture. These things happen. I believe they happen just like that, right? So here, Brother Branham is he's given instructions on how the prayer line is supposed to work and how people should have their prayer card, and he sees a little situation going on with the father and with his son Billy Paul, and he tells Billy Paul, bring him back. Lord have mercy. I'm gonna tell you something. God knows how to bypass processes. Amen. If you need a process bypass, God can go around the process and give you exactly what you need. Don't worry about the process. We serve a God that's bigger than the process. Look at this. Something said to me, bring them back. So I said, bring him here, and the father come up, tears running down his face, needing shaving, and he walked up, and here's the Reader's Digest said, I asked no questions, but looked right straight in the face of the baby. told the baby where it was from. It had been to Mayo's Clinic and all about what was the matter with it, how sick it had been and everything. And said the father started crying and started to leave. And said he started off the platform and he turned around. He said, "That's right, sir." He said, "But will my baby ever live?" I said, "That I can't say. I can only say what God has shown me. He showed me your name. He showed me where you live. He showed me that the baby went to Mayo's Clinic. But that's as much as I got. Now, it's going to take this man faith to go further." Now, look, he says, "That I can't say." I said, "Just a moment. I seen a vision appear." I said, You won't want to believe this, because Mayo's and Hopkins both said that the operation couldn't be performed on that brain. But I tell you what you do." He says, "You tomorrow, you just go ahead with this baby. Within the next 3 days, you're going to meet a black-headed woman on the street, and that woman's going to ask you what's the matter with that baby. And then she's going to tell you some little country doctor out here that can perform that operation. And you won't want to believe it, because that Mayo's turned it down and said it was impossible to be done. But that's the only chance your baby has through the power of God, the mercy of God, and that operation. It's the only chance." Now there's a couple things going on here. Actually, Brother Branham's telling this man to go forward with the operation. Some of us, and I ain't going to knock your faith, but sometimes we get to a spot where we don't want to do these things. Sometimes God uses the medicine to bring healing to your body. Amen. God uses a doctor. God can use a doctor to help you. Amen. I just say it like this. Just be sane in your Christianity. Be sane. Be prayerful and be sane. You don't want to be too far on this side, too far. And I'm not knocking your faith. I mean, if God has really told you, don't do it, okay, don't do it. Don't do it. But, you know, if you kind of weigh in all your options and, you know, it's not, the chances are good that you're going to recover well and it's not going to be, you know, major impact to your life, you can hear him out. You can hear the doctor out. Sometimes they're giving you a 10% chance of living. If we do this operation, you got 10% chance. Well, wait, doc, if you only give me 10% to live, I ain't going to let you. You know, you're going to have to give me some higher percentages than that. Praise God. And then I need to hear some other people's stories that done come through this. Amen. All right. You don't want them just experimenting on you now. All right. All right, so he says, through the power of God and the mercy of God and that operation. Now, if you believe me to be his prophet, go do as I tell you. Like putting the figs on Hezekiah and so forth, he said, he turned around and said, "Thank you." He walked off. 2 days or more had passed, and he was down on the street one day, and a lady walked up and said, "What's the matter with your baby?" Said, "It's got a brain disease." He was going on talking like that. Well, they thought it was awful bad, you know. So he said, just in a few minutes, something taking place. She said, "Sir, I know of someone who can do that operation." He said, "Lady, look, Mayo brothers give it up and said it can't be done. Said a man up here was praying for it named Brother Branham. Said he made a prayer for the baby. He said, wait a minute, black-headed, wearing a gray coat. Said, that's her. Said, where is that doctor?" And he told him, took him up there, and the doctor performed the operation. The baby got well. Beautiful things about this, about the very specific God that we serve. God used the prophet, just like we read there in the book of Samuel. Samuel told, you're going to meet people, you're going to meet this, you're going to meet they're going to tell you about the animals. Is this going to happen? I mean, it's just very specific about every detail. All right. God, through the prophet, told this man that he was going to meet, a lady told him what color dress the lady was going to have on, what color coat and everything, the color of her hair, right? Pretty much he gave all these details about this lady. And when the details kind of came in, it clicked in the man's head. Wait a minute, this is the woman that I'm supposed to see in 3 days. So, you know, God got details like that. Here's the beautiful thing that I like about God. When you're part of a vision, God already know what you're going to be wearing in your closet before you know it. God already know the store that you're going to be at to buy that. God already know the person that was going to give that to you as a gift to wear, because it had to be orchestrated for you to have on a specific outfit at a specific time and be in a specific place in order to hear from God. Oh, God can do that. Amen. You don't know who will come through here and say, yeah, the Lord sent me to say something to a person that had on such and such a dress. Or the Lord sent me to give such and such a certain amount of money because he said they'd be wearing this color dress. I don't know your name, but I know the dress because I saw that. And here God told me to give this to you. Hello, you don't know what God will do. I just like how specific things are, and as well as I like the fact that God done thought these things out. In this story, I read to you all this miracle, and Brother Branham noticed he prayed for him, but not the prayer was not necessarily for healing. The prayer actually gave direction to his daddy. Now, when you read, if you ever go and read the story that they have of this boy in the Reader's Digest that Brother Branham said, you will see at the end of that story, this boy actually end up passing away. And there are people that have pretty much stopped believing the message because they say this boy end up dying and got prayed for by Brother Branham. And they end up dying. And my concern is why would you blame Brother Branham for the boy's death? And you ain't said nothing about the doctor. Who operated on him? And here's the other thing. Many of us can go to the hospital and get operated on and end up dying, and nobody ever blame the hospital. Ever blame not. But they always want to put it on God. No. This was simply the will of the Lord. Now, the boy did live a little bit longer. He did live a little bit longer, but he did end up dying. And look, Lazarus was raised from the dead and also ended up dying. He ain't living. He ain't still living. Lazarus is dead. So you can be raised from the dead and still end up dying. You can get healed from a sickness and still end up dying. But the thing about death, and this is the problem that most people don't see, death for a Christian is a reward. We don't lose as believers. We don't lose. I mean, we transition from a man from one state to a greater state. I mean, a life where you never see no more sin, you never have no more pain, no more aches in your body. No more worried about bills to pay. No more worried about taxes, huh? I mean, you talk about joy. No flu, no COVID, and whatever else come out. No, we don't have to worry about them things no more. That's a joy for a believer to enter into a life like that. What the scripture call it, the joys of the Lord. So as a believer, we don't run from this. But I wanted to say, anybody that would, you know, Brother Branham actually told him what was going to happen. He says, it's going to take the grace of God and that doctor to help your child. He told him. He didn't say, thus said the Lord, the boy is healed. He never said that. He says, look, I can pray, but God ain't showed me. And he can only share with people what God actually showed him. If you got somebody running around sharing with you things that God ain't said, you better watch that. You want people to be committed to the Lord first. And Brother Branham demonstrated that. So anybody got doubts about his ministry and that would try to use this story, just help them, you know, see, look, a doctor was involved too, and you ain't said nothing about that doctor. Why are you coming against the prophet? And it don't even make sense for you to talk about the doctor. And here's the other thing is, you know what doctors do? They practice medicine. Maybe I don't get the first word. Practice medicine. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. But does that mean we stop going to doctors? No. They've studied. They've done a lot of research. And they've studied certain things, right? And it's like, hey, this has worked on these people. And I mean, got thousands of people that has worked on. It could work for you. And that's all they're saying. It could work for you. Praise the Lord. And just because one patient died, don't mean you stop going to doctors. Oh, I ain't going to the hospital. Last night they willed out this one. And they will. No, look, you're not approaching things sensibly. If they can help you, let them help you. But like the brother said to us on Sunday, before you go do all that, always get a word of prayer. Because you just never know. God might move before they move. And like Brother Branham's wife, she was on her way to surgery, y'all. She was on her way to surgery. The prophet's wife was getting ready to be cut. And while he was there in Louisiana, he prayed a prayer. And he said, before the doctor's hand touched my wife's body, let that tumor be removed. And they checked the tumor right before they was getting ready to cut, and they realized the tumor was no longer there. See, prayer can change things just like that. So it's always good to pray first and believe in the prayer. Believe. Don't just do it out of tradition, but believe that the Bible says if they lay hands on the sick, then I'll recover. Lord, I'm quoting your word. I'm trusting your word. Tell the doctor, just check one more time. Come on, he did it with Sister Tanya. She was on her way to be cut. But when she got there, woke up that morning, it was gone. And God has done it twice for her. So we know God does these things. He's not a past tense God. He's a present tense God. And if we need him, he can be called on the scene. Praise the Lord, church. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we could see. We can see, Father, the progression. It's not just a Bible story in the book of Samuel, but the same way you operated through the prophet Samuel. We see various things that happened in your ministry. You operated the same way, all the way down to this day where you sent a prophet for this end time and you operate the same way. Lord, it's a blessing to be able to do this. And if we can see you operating like that, then we can be under expectation that you're still doing the same things. And we realize there's a difference in a gift of prophecy and a prophet. We realize there's a difference, but yet it's the same God manifesting in each function. Our desire, Lord, is to be yielded to the Spirit of God, that you might have preeminence in our life. And sometimes we got to get the pipes unclogged. Our spiritual pipes get clogged up with a lot of natural things that we get ourselves involved with. We don't have to, but we fail. And we get into these things and it clogs us up where we just can't see you spiritually. The prophet said we can sit right here, it'll pass right through us and we don't even know it. We don't want to be like that. We want to be in the right channel that we can capture when you're speaking. When, God, you want to move. Maybe you might use us to share a word with somebody. We don't know what you want to do, God, but we want you to have your way right here in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for this word that you give to awaken our faith. We need it. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you the announcements for tonight. So Sunday morning we'll be here in service, and expecting to have Brother Del Smith with us on Sunday morning, ministering for us. We'll be looking forward to that. He's a pastor coming out of Flagstaff, Arizona. And so we'll look forward to having him. Our prayer time will start from 8:30 to 9:30. Our Sunday school from 8:45 to 9:15. And then our service will start promptly at 9:30 a.m. And again, want to encourage all of our youth to be a part of the Sunday school. Sometimes I have walked by that Sunday school room at 8:45 and I don't see none of my youth in the Sunday school room. I want to encourage my youth, please be faithful to Sunday school. Be very faithful to Sunday school. Our streaming will continue through Facebook, SAT Tabernacle, and then also on our church website, john423.org. And don't forget, we have an annual business meeting coming up on Friday, January 30th. So that will be happening at the end of the month. And our corporate time of fasting will start on February 16th and run through March 8th. So please remember that, the corporate fasting, and however the Lord would lead you to participate in that. Be prayerful about how the Lord would lead you. And but we ask everyone to just be a part of it. Some will do Daniel fast. Some might fast until 12 o'clock in the day. Some might fast to 3 o'clock in the day. Some might fast to 6 o'clock. Some might do the intermittent fastings. Some might fast technology and social media. Fast something. Everybody finds something that they could fast to be a part of this. There's a youth fair outing that's going to happen on this Sunday at 1:30 p.m. See Brother Simba or Sister Sarah to confirm your attendance, as well as to get the instructions for that. So the youth fair outing is going to happen on Sunday at 1:30 p.m. after service. Okay, also, so your giving tax documents, we'd like to email that to you. So if you don't mind, see Brother Quentin to confirm your email address, but we'd like to give your giving tax documents for 2025. We'll email those over to you. So please make sure you see Brother Quentin with your email address for the tax receipts. All right. Brother Dale Smith this Sunday, and then next Sunday we'll be having Brother Chris Cathy. We'll be looking forward to having both of these brothers with us. All right, our giving is through online method is Zelle, PayPal, or Cash App. Zelle is always preferred because they do not take fees, but we are able to take PayPal and Cash App. What happens with the fees is that, you know, if you give $100, PayPal will take five of your hundred, and Cash App will take five of your hundred for their processes, and then give the rest to the church. But Zelle does not take anything, right? And that's God's money that you're giving, so we don't want to give God's money to PayPal or Cash App. So if you have Zelle or can do it through Zelle, that would be better. Also, we have a mailing address, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222462, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33422. Those that are in the sanctuary, if you decide that you want to give in person, we have a wooden box on the back table. As you are leaving or as you're coming in, you can use that wooden box on the back table for your giving. All right. Praise the Lord. Do we have anyone that want to share testimony tonight before we would depart? Any testimonies? Okay, we got a couple of them. I don't see the mic stand, but I'll take the mic. And I'll just come on up, those that had a testimony. you say you got one? You got the mic.
God bless you. I just want to thank the Lord just for being back in the house. Last week I got real sick, and my kids will tell you I'm hardly never sick. If I am, it's maybe a day, and then I'm right back on my feet. But this time it was a little different. So I asked God, I asked the brothers for prayer. I said, brothers, pray for me. I was real bad. Like, I probably was coming home like 7:30 at night from starting at like 3:30 in the morning. I had no energy. So Tuesday I went to work, and I was in Stewart, and I lost my car keys. I was in Stewart, and I was like, Lord, this seemed familiar. And I say, I remember when a prophet helped a man when he got his car stolen, and they drove, and he told him where the car was going to be. I said, Lord, you helped that. You used the prophet to help that man find his car, Lord. I need my car keys. And I know God heard me. But Wednesday I came to work and found them. Thursday I was calling. I called every customer I knew I can get. Then work Friday, I'm like, hey, did anybody? No, I called my job. No, we didn't see him. We couldn't find the keys. I was hurt. Like, I hurt my foot. So I just was going through. But I was like, something's got to break at some point. So even through the toughest times, I'm like, something's going to change. But I was just like, Lord, I know you did it. You helped the man do it with the prophet. So I know you can do it for me. So I prayed. And I felt so bad. Wednesday, I felt bad. I couldn't be in church. I was, like, really down. I felt like, Lord, I'm letting you down. I can't be in service to tell you thank you. And then it was like, wait a minute. Why am I feeling so bad when I know God gonna? And then I heard Brother Ansi speak on Sunday, like, these just trials, this is what God using to see how am I going to react. And I went, all right, that's enough. No more feeling sorry for myself or being upset about keys or being hurt or being sick. And I just was like, all right, I'm going to find these keys. So Monday, I actually went to work, and I was like, all right, tomorrow when I come, and I said, I was like, tomorrow, Tuesday, I'm going to find my keys so I can make sure I get home. And I went Tuesday, and I went like 17 stops, didn't find the keys. Then I went to the 18th one, and the guy was like, hey, I've been waiting on you for your keys. I didn't have your number. So before I could even get there, the guy was waiting on me to give me the keys. I cleaned dirties. He actually wrote on a piece of paper and put it on top of the dirty clothes. So when I opened the bin, it was like, hey, I have your keys. Come see me. So he was actually waiting on me for a whole week. So the whole time, I'm like, Lord, I'm over here moody, worrying about something. The whole time, you already had it planned out and ready for me. So I just wanted to thank God for me finding the keys and just him, you know, giving us a prophet that you have those things for examples to see it in our lives. So we, you know, we have an example to go by, you know, we're just not in the dark. So I just wanted to give God thanks for that.
Amen. It's wonderful. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Sis, I saw your hand. You can come on up and share. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God.
God bless you. Not last Wednesday, the Wednesday before, Brother Jack had just finished doing the Bible study, and I was sitting right next to my dad, and I had a pain in my leg. Like, I couldn't stop moving my leg. It was just hurting so bad. I was trying to get the pain away. And right after he finished praying, after he finished the Bible study, I was like, hey, can you pray for my leg? And he was like, sure. So he just prayed for it in the seat. And the testimony, I think there was like three testimonies. And the second testimony finished. And I was like, wait a minute. There's no more pain in my leg. And I never came up here to say it. And I was like, well, I have to come say it at least now. So I just wanted to testify that my leg got healed.
God, amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank the Lord. Brother, I saw your hand. Amen. Thank God for touching our sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also good to have Sister Tina back. She was away for about a month or so, so good to have her back.
God bless. My testimony that was confirmed today with the word. On Sunday, the brother said that when you get sick, he said the first thing you got to do is you pray. And then after you pray, if the Lord tell you to go to the hospital or go to the doctor, he said, go to the doctor, you know. There was something that happened, and I wanted to share with you guys. And it was confirmed that day with that, because I just kind of had a little doubt in my how it all happened. But previously, I had some back pain, and I was pretty worried. And I went to the chiropractor, and when I went to the chiropractor, he basically, like, started laughing. He was like, oh, that's what it is. You know, just got to adjust you. You got this, one of the vertebrae were out or something like that. And he fixed me up. So this was a few months ago. And then a couple weeks ago, that pain came back for a few days. And I was working through it. But it was pretty bad. And I knew I had to go to the doctor. I had to go to the chiropractor. But something just kept telling me not to go. And then I think it was on a Wednesday night, Brother Eladio was preaching down in Pompano. We had to go down there. No, I think it was, maybe it was a Wednesday night. And the Lord told me, when I woke up that morning, the Lord told me, have Brother Eladio pray for you. And that was just like burning in my heart, you know. It was just like, okay, you know, I'm going to ask him to pray for me, and I'm going to believe for my healing, you know. Now, through all this, I already knew that last time if I went to the chiropractor, the pain seemed kind of like the same, so I figured, you know, he would fix me up, but the Lord told me to have him pray for me. So when we got there, I think it was a Sunday morning, when we got there, I went to pick him up, and I got out of the truck, and I told Brother Ladio, I said, you know, Brother Ladio, this happened, and the Lord put in my heart to have you pray for me, and I believe that through your prayer, I can receive my healing. That's where my faith is standing at. And he said, you know what? I like to pray for people, you know? So he's like, let's pray right now. And we were there. I was actually picking up from Brother Felix's house, so Brother Felix joined us, and we prayed. And as we were praying, you know, I just kept believing that I would get healed. And when we finished praying, I said, you know, thank you. So I'm healed, you know. And I remember through the day, we went to one service, and then we went to another service. And I remember Linda asking, how's your back? And I said, you know, it's hurting pretty bad, but I'm already healed. I'm standing on that. And I kept saying that, I'm healed. And we were actually at night after the last service, Brother Eladio came and asked me, he's like, how's your back? I was like, man, it's hurting. The same way that it was hurting before, but I'm healed. And I just, every time I felt the pain, I just kept saying I'm healed. So I actually went home, and the pain was still there. I was woke up in the morning. That was the Monday morning. And when I woke up in the morning, something told me, you're already healed, but go to the chiropractor. I was like, hold up, you know. At that moment, I was like, well, I'm believing. In my heart, I believed that I was not going to not believe that the prayer was effective. I was believing that the Lord was going to heal me through the prayer. But then I had this feeling like, you're healed, but go to the doctor. So I was like, I mean, this kind of like, it's not making sense to me. So I went to the chiropractor. And when I went to the chiropractor, like, he's like, so your back is out again. And he, like, tried to adjust my back. He's like, man, let's check your neck because your back is pretty good, you know. But as you were talking today, you know, that testimony how Brother Branham was saying, you know, he's like, Yes, God can heal you, but sometimes you got to believe that if the word comes to you, it might be that God is trying to use, like the pastor say, God might heal you through the doctors, you know. So it was just like confusing to me in my head, like, okay, I'm not gonna go to the doctor, but then again, I heard this voice that's telling me go to the doctor. So I'm like, maybe I'm not believing, or maybe I'm not trusting in the Lord. Like, what's going on? But I think it was the Lord. I believe that the Lord healed me because the chiropractor didn't find too much out of my back. But I think it was more like, are you going to trust what you're believing, or are you going to trust in the word that I'm giving you? That's kind of what I saw there. And I remember when the doctor told me to go, when I felt that the Lord told me to go to the doctor, to the chiropractor, I remember that testimony that Brother Jack said today about Brother Branham's wife going over there. She was going to go to the doctor and heal her before. So I believe that the Lord healed me before I went to the chiropractor, but he wanted to see if I would still go. This is what I think. And it was troubling me that whole week until I was here on Sunday, and through the preaching, he said, you know, you first pray. And then if the Lord tells you to go to the doctor, then you go to doctors, because he'll anoint the doctors to, you know, to heal you. So it was confirmation for me. It was confirmation today how he shared some of those things, and he kind of went back to that. But I believe that what Brother Jack said today, he said, even if somebody tells you something, if you find something that the Lord tells you, whether it's to the word or something that he put into your heart, follow with that. And sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes you feel like, well, is my faith wavering, you know? And it just, I think it's putting your faith in action, you know? And my faith was in that he was healing me, but yet he told me to go to the doctor, and I went to the doctor. But yet I believe that he healed me on the way there because he couldn't find anything. So I just want you to encourage you that the word is true, that whether it's God healing or healing through the doctor, what he promised he would do, and I'm a living testimony, and he confirmed it. I had that doubt, and he confirmed it through the word. So stay encouraged, and he still heals.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. And sometimes God will actually use the doctor to confirm what has happened in your body. So thank God for him just being laid. Anybody else want to share testimony before? Okay. All right. As the sister's coming, I just wanted to make mention, I was talking about people having prayer meetings and all of a sudden wanting to start in a church. When we started Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, I didn't take nobody with me, just my family. And I say, when you're doing something like that, just go on your own. If so, God will bless it. Praise the Lord. All right.
Amen. God bless you, church. I just want to thank God for just his grace and mercy toward me. I was in a hit-and-run accident on Sunday on the way to church, and it could have been so much worse, but I thank God there was no major injuries, and I am feeling better. Also, I want to thank God. I asked the sisters last night in a prayer. I had forgotten about the prayer request for my stepdad. He had been in the hospital all week. And at the end, I asked them to pray, and Sister Erica prayed. And I just want to give the report that he went home. He was released and went home today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. All right. Anybody else before we depart? All right. I want to say it's certainly good to see Sister Chantel. Amen. Amen. She came back with her daughters, and always enjoy seeing this family. They are part of the our original crew from Roebuck Road. Yeah, so they've been part of the journey for a long time, and we keep them in our prayers. So always good to see you all. God bless you. God bless you. All right, let us have a word of prayer, and we will prepare to dismiss you on tonight. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to be able to come and to hear your word, and also hear the wonderful testimonies of what you're doing in the midst of your people, healing our bodies, Lord, protecting us from hurt, harm, and danger. Scripture tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them from all their troubles. So we thank you, Lord, for manifesting your word on our behalf. And God, as we prepare to leave this place, going our separate ways, we ask that you would go with us, that you would allow us to return again, Father, on Sunday morning with hearts under expectation for you to minister to our needs once again. For we are needy people, always in need of you, want to hear you speak, Father, through your word. Want to feel your presence, Lord. We just want to know that we've been in church. So, Father, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to come back with those expectations. Bless each and everyone, Lord, as they go tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday morning. God bless you.